you to turn, if you would, to the book of Galatians, if you can believe that. It's not John. This is kind of summertime, and I have landed on a new study that we'll do in the fall. So these are kind of standalone thinking, standalone topics. And today I want to talk about what you're going to see up on the screen here. Steve's going to throw a picture up there, right? Maybe you've seen this one before. I've got a bunch of farmers over in Eastern Washington relatives, so you've probably seen that picture before, have you? You've been farming long? Yeah. Isn't that a great picture? I love it. Not too long. Yeah. So I'm going to be talking about the laws of the harvest. On Wednesdays, we get to listen to Dee Duke a lot. And he grew up on a dairy farm, and he raised his kids, 8 kids, teaching them about planting corn seeds. And if you plant one corn seed, you get one corn plant. And if you plant one bean seed, you get one bean plant. And if you plant one radish seed, you get one radish plant. And so he uses that to teach the law of the harvest, that what you plant, what you sow, is what you will reap. And it's a great thing. So we're going to be looking a little bit today at the laws of the harvest. Before we get there, there are 2 or 3 laws that I wanted to just share with you. I don't have notes. I don't have PowerPoint. You'll just have to listen really well today. But there is, first of all, this law in the Bible called the law of the perpetual evil of sin, of the sin nature. So perpetual means it goes on and on and on. It doesn't go away. The sin nature is always evil. When you ask why there's so much trouble in the world, much of it just comes right back to the fact that the sin nature of man is evil, and it always will be. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" And that word, desperately sick, it comes. There's another word, another couple passages where it's used. And one of them is Jeremiah 30, verse 12, that says, "For thus says the Lord, your wound is incurable." Incurable. So I would, and that's the word that we find in Jeremiah 17:9 that says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" So there's an incurable sickness in the heart of man, in the sin nature, and it's perpetual. The wonderful thing about it is, you ready for a wonderful, good, encouraging, is that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not that we will ever have anything to boast about when we get to heaven. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:29, "So that no man may boast before God." There's not going to be any boasting in heaven. We're not going to boast. It will all be because of God's grace, because of his mercy. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." So as incurably, perpetually evil as the sin nature is, God saves people. Titus says, "He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit." Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Yeah, he saved us. It says the believer can say, "He saved us not on the basis of deeds which I have done, but on the basis of his mercy." So the best that the flesh can do cannot stand in the presence of a holy and righteous God. Boy, that is profound, important truth. Want to hear it again? The best the flesh can do cannot stand in the presence of a holy and righteous God. Religion will never satisfy the holiness of God. No religion. None. It is all evil and vile before God, and it is perpetually evil. So that's one law. The second law is the law of continual conflict. Until we get to heaven, there's going to be conflict between the flesh and what the flesh wants and what the Spirit of God wants to produce in us. There's always going to be conflict. Every single one of you in this room who can hear me, you might as well understand, you will be in perpetual, continual conflict. For the flesh sets its desire, Galatians 5:17 says, against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. You're always going to have conflict between the flesh and what the flesh wants and what the Spirit wants to produce in you. It's always going to be there. You're always going to want to eat those chocolates. Right? Right? I don't know why I'm looking at Brian, but the flesh will always want what it wants, and the Spirit will be in conflict with it. There will always be continual conflict between what the flesh nature wants and what the Holy Spirit of God wants. Whatever the flesh desires is just contrary to what the Holy Spirit desires, and what the Holy Spirit wants, the flesh never wants. They're in conflict. You're always going to have this conflict inside of kind of a warfare. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So there's hope. There's hope that we can walk by means of the Spirit of God. We can walk in dependence upon the Spirit of God. That's the spiritual life, trusting in Him. So you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So there's hope. The flesh remains as one of the three enemies of the child of God until he sees the Lord and becomes like Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him. That's a good thing. When He comes, we will be like Him. We're not going to be in a struggle any longer. We will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. Not only does it remain, but it continually seeks to oppose what the Holy Spirit of God wants to do in the believer's life. So that's the law of continual conflict. So there's the law of perpetual evil, of sin, of the sin nature, the law of continual conflict, and then there's the law of leaven. I've been trying to learn how to make bread. And I have a son-in-law who's pretty gifted at making bread, and he keeps helping me get better at it. But we use leaven in the bread. 6 cups of flour and 1 cup of whole wheat and 4 teaspoons of leaven. And then water and salt. And here's the law of leaven, though. It says, any time sin of any variety is allowed to exist and is not dealt with by the believer, that sin continues to work as leaven until the whole is corrupted. So when we make bread, this is a pretty simple recipe. but we put that leaven in there, and then we put it aside in a warm place and let it rise and let the yeast work and let the leaven permeate the whole lump of dough. And this law is that if sin, which in the Bible many times is expressed as leaven, as yeast, says if sin of any variety is allowed to exist and is not dealt with by the believer, that sin continues to work as leaven until the whole is corrupted, corrupted. So Galatians 5:9 says, a little leaven leavens what? The whole lump. A little leaven, that's all it takes. So if we allow or do not deal with a little leaven in our life, it will corrupt, it will grow and spread. If we do not deal with sin, it will deal with us. This law only works one way, however. Good apples. You ever thought about this? Good apples never change bad apples. Got it? But what's the opposite? Bad apples corrupt the good ones. That's the nature. That's a law of leaven. It's just the reverse. Then Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, do not be deceived. Bad company. Bad company. Bad friendships. Friendships are not bad, but the wrong kind of friendships corrupt good morals. That's hard to understand sometimes, because we look at life with rose-colored glasses and we believe the best, but the Bible says if you show me your friendships, show me the people that you hang around with, the people that are important to you and you spend a lot of time with, I'll show you your destiny. I will show you down the road what will happen with your life and what your life will be like. It's really a law. The last one is the law of temporal death. It's kind of not a way that we talk a whole lot, but it says, whenever the child of God is operating through the sin nature, he is in a state of temporal death before God. It's not talking about salvation. It's not talking about losing my eternal, settled relationship with God. But whenever the child of God is operating through the sin nature, he is in a state of temporal death. Temporal separation from God. Disruption of our relationship with God. Loss of fellowship with God. That's what happens. Maybe something we feel on the inside, it's real. Has nothing to do with having lost his salvation, but rather of having broken his fellowship. A sinning child is still a child of his father, but his sinning against him will break fellowship with him. So if sin is allowed, if sin is fostered, if sin is not dealt with in our life, if we think we can get away with it, whether we understand it or not, it's a law. And we lose our relationship, our fellowship with God, unless we confess our sin and repent and deal with it in our life. Romans 8:6 says, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. I'm going to move along here. In this age, sometimes maybe you've heard people say about believers who believe in the grace of God, today we can somewhere people develop the idea that they can do anything wrong and then use 1 John 1:9. Anybody, any of the men at least here memorize 1 John 1:9? Anybody want to say it out loud? Those of you that have been awake on Wednesdays, yes, Steve? Yep. Yeah, and that's true. That's really true. I mean, thank God there is cleansing for sin. But the believer should never presume on the grace of God to develop the idea that we can do anything we want and then use 1 John 1:9. You know, that doesn't work with God. I mean, that's just a sham. So there are laws of the harvest, and we cannot mock God. We cannot make a mockery of God. There are laws built into our behavior, and we want to look at those a little bit. These laws of sowing and reaping are equally valid for all, whether we are married or single, whether we are male or female, whether we are young or old, whether we are rich or poor, or any other distinction that we might make. In fact, these laws operate whether we know about them or are totally ignorant of them. While earth remains, no man will mock God. No man, whether we understand it, know it, whatever, no man will mock God by changing for even one time these laws of the harvest. So we're going to look at those for a few minutes. And I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Okay? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. The one who is, sorry, yeah, this is speaking of the law of the harvest in regards to paying your pastor, and I'm not going there this morning, so don't, but we're going to get on beyond that. Chapter 6 verse 6 says, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, you hear the will? Not maybe or might, but it says, will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. So, this is a law. The law, for example, in the Old Testament could not save anyone. The Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, could not save. It would hold people in bondage. It would obscure the gospel of grace even. God's law, even though it cannot save, is good. God's law is good. And it was given for a good purpose. So there are natural laws in the world. Do you know what some of the natural laws are? What's a natural law? Pardon? Gravity? Okay. And that just means that you might fall, and if you fall off, a cliff, you'll go down. A plane will crash. The laws of gravity are real. Gravity, for example, if you've broken the law of gravity, there's a good chance that you broke something else. Yeah. Maybe it was an arm, maybe it was an ankle, maybe you fell out of a tree, maybe you were daydreaming during a sermon. We know that about the Apostle Paul, right? The law of gravity reminds us quickly about how the body works and how the world works. There's also the law of personal health. Do you know that most of the people riding their bikes through here this weekend were in good shape? They were. I mean, there were doctors, there were nurses, there were people, not everyone, but there were a lot of them. They're in very, very good shape. And I think that they probably watch what they eat, and they exercise, and they train. And so the opposite is probably true. The law of the harvest, a natural law, is that if you eat corn dogs and nachos and ice cream, they're probably... Why are you laughing? Huh? Because they're good. Yeah. Anyway, there are laws, natural laws, that we need to learn about, and you know, through natural laws, God keeps the seasons changing. I like that part of the natural laws of God. Right? We're living in summertime, and there was, you know, the beginning of summer that was 50 degrees and raining for a long time. But Genesis 8:22 says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter and dry, day and night shall not cease." That's a natural law, right? Right? The seasons are part of God's gift to us. Seed time and harvest. Those are part of God's creation. But there's also spiritual sowing and spiritual reaping. And this is not just bad. It's not just negative. Sometimes we think of that law and we think of, you know, you sin and you're going to reap consequences, and that's true. But I've written down, and these have been, I've read these from different sources, but these are the laws of the harvest. Maybe I could print these off sometime and you could have them on another Sunday. But the first law is that we sow and reap in like kind. That's the first law of the harvest. It's pretty basic, but it's important. If you plant watermelon seeds, you're not going to get corn. If you plant beans, you're not going to get alfalfa. You don't, and this is really important. I hope you can hear this. I hope we can understand that. If we plant a certain kind of seed in our life, and then we wait and time goes by, and now it's time for the harvest, it's too late to change the picture. You can't undo that. You can't plant watermelon seeds, wait all through the summer, and then expect now for corn to grow or some other crop. There's a law that says, if you plant watermelon seeds, you have to wait and watermelon plants will grow. That's the law of the harvest. So we sow and reap in like kind. You don't decide at the harvest what kind of crop you're going to have. It's too late by then. you have to take that decision. You have to make that decision when you plant the seeds. You have to make the decision of what's the crop, what's the fruit that I want in my life, and I'm going to sow that seed and wait for the harvest to come. But you can't sow the wrong kinds of seeds that you don't want and then wait and then expect to change things when it's time for the harvest. So does that make sense? Got it? Okay. The second law of the harvest is that we reap in a different season. This is so important to understand. We reap in a different season than we sow. Let me read a little bit more here. Impatient people don't make good farmers. You need sun, water, seed, and soil. They must work together over time to coax crops from the earth. When we sow, then we mustn't sit with our faces pressed against the window hoping to see a new crop shoot up overnight. The harvest will come. And it will either be a good harvest that we want, or it will be the kind of harvest we don't want. But the law is the harvest will come in our lives. So what we sow is really important. And then there's the law of that we reap in a different season than when we sow. The harvest will come, but in another season. Then the third law is that we reap more than we sow. Many years ago, one of our elders in the church here, Joe Zion, was leasing some ground over in Toledo, and he was raising oats. And he would grind the oats at home and provide feed for people all around the country. And I remember one day he brought an oat plant, and Ellen Zion, I think, was married to him at the time. And I just remember seeing this oat plant started with one seed, right? One seed in the ground, and then it grew. And it literally, they counted the seeds that it produced. And you know how many it produced? 100 seeds. And I think that's can be both discouraging and very encouraging in our life, because it says that when we sow a little bit, there will be a greater harvest. So if we've sown the right kinds of seeds by faith, we can expect a greater harvest. But it also means that if we sow the wrong kinds of seeds, we will. The law says that we will reap more than we sowed. Just as a handful of seeds yields an abundant harvest of tomatoes, one seed of corn sprouts into a sturdy stalk with multiple ears. And when you plant an apple tree, you get not only the tree, but all the apples that the tree bears for a long time, if you take care of your tree, right? One apple seed, one tree, and a long time of harvesting the fruit of that one seed. Seeds are so small, they seem so insignificant, so lifeless, but over time, they grow into beautiful crops. So what we sow is really important. Number one, we sow and reap in like kind. Number two, we reap in a different season than we sow. And thirdly, we reap more than we sow. And finally, and this is pretty sobering, I think, we can do nothing about past harvests. We can do nothing about past harvests. But we can do something about future harvests. What's past is past. We can't change last year's harvest, but we can learn from it, and we can use what we learn to plant wisely now and care for our crop throughout its growth. If we sow sinful thoughts. And actions, for example, we will reap the consequences. What did we learn about the fear of the Lord? One of you guys, what is the fear of the Lord? Yeah, that's the Bible answer. That's right. That's the inspired answer. And the non-inspired answer is what? Exactly. The fear of the Lord is knowing that God knows all about me and there's nothing hidden from him. And he rewards the right and punishes the wrong. That's really true. So if we sow sinful thoughts and actions, for example, we will reap the consequences. And who would argue that many seasons are necessary for the seed of initial faith in Christ to grow into mature Christian faith? Okay. Well, those are the laws of the harvest. I'm going to just kind of wrap things up here. I'm going to talk about sowing and reaping in relationship to holy living. Sowing and reaping in relationship to holy living. In Galatians, again, verse 8, it says, "For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." These words of Paul disprove the accusations from the opponents that his gospel promotes loose living. Just the opposite. People saved by grace actually have the power through the Holy Spirit to live lives pleasing to God. I'm very encouraged by that. We, through the Spirit of God, we have the power given to us by God to live in a way that pleases God. And the life of faith is anything but passive. Are you ready? Can you think about that? We tend to think that the life of faith is passive. I just have to sit back and God is going to do it for me. And I'm just saying that it is anything but passive. The life of faith does involve hard work. So we have our choice of two different fields, two different choices. Holy living is not as mystical as some would like to make it. Holiness is a deliberate discipline. That's very amazing. Fred Allen once said, "Most of us spend the first 6 days of the week sowing wild oats, and then we go to church on Sunday and pray for crop failure." Did you get that? Most of us spend 6 days a week sowing our wild oats and coming to church hoping that we will pray for crop failure. To grow well, we have to sow well. Christians have two fields before them into which they can sow, the field of the flesh and the field of the spirit. If we're to live a holy life, we must sow in the field of the spirit. How can we expect to reap a godly life if we neglect the field of the spirit and instead toss our seed into the field of the flesh? It's the law of the harvest all over again. And so we have the choice of sowing to the flesh and sowing to the spirit. Here's what it means. I know you have to bear with me here, but it means to pursue thoughts and activities that feed our spiritual nature. It's living for short-term satisfaction. This would include such... So sowing to the flesh, okay? What does it mean? It means to pursue thoughts and activities that feed our sinful nature. That's what's sowing to the flesh. We're thinking, we're doing things that feed, that pour gasoline on our sinful nature. It's living for short-term satisfaction. This would include such activities as reading pornographic literature and indulging other fleshly lusts, but it isn't limited to those. Creating discord in the church is fleshly seed. So is gossip in the workplace. So is laziness. So are harboring grudges, apathy toward the scriptures, and ignoring the needs of others. Sowing to the Spirit, then, means pursuing thoughts and actions that produce the fruit of the Spirit. Study the Word, fellowship with other Christians, prayer, corporate worship, speaking the truth in love, self-discipline, caring for the needs of others, and so on. I'm going to wrap things up here. John Stott wrote these words: "If we sow to the flesh, we shall from the flesh reap corruption." That is a process of moral decay. It's a process of moral decay, and it will set in. We shall go from bad to worse until we finally perish. If, on the other hand, we sow to the Spirit, we shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. That is, a process of moral and spiritual growth will begin. Communion with God will develop now until in eternity it becomes perfect. So, I just want to finish with this one idea, and that is that I want to encourage you, and I really mean this, I really want to encourage you that when you sow to the Spirit, when you live in obedience to God, when you plant the good kind of seeds, God brings a harvest into your life. It's a law of the harvest. If you spent this weekend serving Christ for His glory, meeting the needs of the people that came through here, if you put them up in your house, if you demonstrated love to them in some way, if you gave, I think the scriptures say don't grow weary in well-doing, because you will reap. You will reap. I guarantee this. It's a law of the harvest. And I think maybe the Apostle Paul got discouraged. I don't know, but I think he may have gotten discouraged. Sometimes no one notices our contribution. Maybe we didn't mention your name this morning. I'm really sorry if that's the case. It's easy to become discouraged or feel like we were overlooked and no one ever says thank you. I'm sorry about that. Proclaiming the gospel, helping needy people, volunteering our time and energy to the church, these can wear us out, especially when appreciation is seldom voiced. But here's what Paul said: we will reap, but in a different season. We will reap if we sow to the Spirit, if we give in order to please God, if we serve Him, we will reap, but in a different season. So that's why, while we have the opportunity, we should do good to all people, especially to those of the family of God. We're to extend Christ's love to all people, not just Christians, yet especially to Christians, since we're all members of the family of faith. We may have to wait to see the full harvest of all that we're sowing in this life, but we will see it in another season. So don't give up. Okay? Don't give up. The Lord knows your work, and He is causing your seeds of service to bear fruit for His glory. And so here's to an abundant harvest. That sound good? Good way to end. Here's to an abundant harvest. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Keep going and keep planting the seeds that will produce a harvest that we're looking for. So let's pray. Father, I know we